What I want to talk about this morning is what I could call God's covering, which means God's protection of us, special protection that he has for us, and how we can try and keep within that protection. I'm going to read a psalm, Psalm 91, which is all about it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And all the hymns, of course, refer to hers as well. This is not just the men he's doing this to. It's all of us. It's everybody that comes under that protection. And I think that's each of us has a unique life made in the image of God with a particular purpose and a meaning. And that's what God wants to protect, and God wants to guard, and God wants us to be able to follow that in our lives. When we're young, we don't really know about that. We just live our lives. I did. We go on just living our lives, working out what's good for us, etc., etc. Even from a Christian family, you may do that. Particularly from a non-Christian family, because no one's there to tell you that this is possible. But actually, as you come to know Jesus, as you commit to him, give your life to him, as you get baptized, as you come into this new life, there is a promise to each of us of his special protection and his guarding of our lives. Now, that doesn't mean that nothing goes wrong with our lives, but it means that he is there constantly protecting and guarding and watching over us in a very special way. He says, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. And that's a huge promise for us. And that's part of what we've been talking about, how Jesus loves us. And that is part of his love, is that he has promised to protect us in that way. And if things get difficult, we have our brothers and sisters, our family of God, to be able to support us, as we saw this morning, and to be able to help us through the difficulties that we face. And God is in the midst of all of that. But having said that, we can come out from under God's protection and God's covering. If we deliberately are, or even to some extent without real knowledge, move out from dwelling under his wing, we do that, if we come away from that, then that protection gets much weaker and we are left more on our own. It's still there, but it becomes more difficult. And he spoke about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve this morning. God was there in the Garden of Eden, and they had a wonderful time, as he was saying. They were protected. God was with them. The animals were all favorable. The whole place was lovely, safe. Adam and Eve then decided that they were going to take a decision which was against what God had said they should do. There was only about one thing God told them not to do, and so they decided to do that. And by doing that, they moved out from God's protection. And in a sense, they demonstrated that by hiding. They hid from God, and so he couldn't. Where are you? What have you done? And of course, what they'd done is come out from his covering. And so he said, I'm afraid there are consequences of doing that for you. I can't protect you in the same way any longer. And we need now, you will be moving out of the Garden of Eden, and you will become out in this big wide world that I've created. And you'll have to fend for yourselves to a greater degree in that than you were when you were protected by me within the garden. And in a sense, that's what's gone on since that time. There are examples in the Bible about that. You remember the biggest sins that people have committed? King David, if you remember, slept with Bathsheba, committed adultery, murder. I'll just read the first verses of that passage where it says that. In the spring, at the time when kings go out to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. She conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I'm pregnant." And you know how the story goes on, that when David found out that she was pregnant, he didn't want the shame and the thing of all that happening onto his shoulders, so he sent for her husband, Uriah, who was fighting the battle out in the front. And he said, "Come back home." He didn't actually say to him, "Come back home and sleep with your wife," but more or less that's what he was saying. "Come back home and have some rest back here," expecting him to go back home, sleep with his wife, and then they could say that it was actually Uriah's baby and not David's baby that was born. And Uriah came back from fighting this battle in obedience to David, but he didn't go back to his home. David was saying, "Go on, go back to your home, you know, have some rest before you go back to battle." And Uriah said, "No, I'm not going to do that. All my brothers and sisters are fighting this battle out there. I'm not going to just have a pleasant time at home with my wife and everything while they're still in danger over there. I will stay, and I will stay at the gates, and I will stand at the gates and sleep at the gate overnight and then go." When after a few nights he clearly wasn't going to do it, David sent him back to fight and said to the commander over there, "Make sure Uriah is killed." So David, who is this great king, who was famous for being the one that brought people together in Jerusalem, and we think about as a great believer, here he was, first of all committing adultery and then committing murder, effectively. So what was it that brought him out from the covering of God? What was it that led up to that? say, well, he shouldn't have been wandering around on the roof, you know, that's not what you should do, and you shouldn't be looking at women bathing, and you shouldn't be doing this and that and the other. We can say all those things. But actually, he shouldn't have been there at all. He shouldn't even have been in Jerusalem at that time. Because what the first verses say, in the spring, at the time when kings go out to war, David sent Joab. He didn't go. He was the leader. He was the one that led them in battle. He was the one that always should have gone out to war with the others and do the battles that they were fighting. But he decided not to. He decided he'd just send Joab and that he'd stay in Jerusalem. And it says David remained in Jerusalem. And so he was actually moved out of what God really wanted and said that people should do in their lives. And as a result of that, he was wandering around with nothing much to do. And so there he was on the roof and saw a nice pretty girl and thought, that's for me. And the rest is history. So that is how you can move out from the protection of God. And as you do that, you're in danger of these things all taking over your life instead. I'll just give one other example. There are many examples. Abraham did the same thing when he was leaving. He was told to go to the promised land. He went to the promised land. Then there was a famine. He went off to Egypt when he shouldn't. He was never told to do that, and pretended that his wife was actually his sister, and got into all sorts of trouble with the Pharaoh, wanted to sleep with her, and all that happened. But Peter, if you remember, the person who denied Jesus three times, and he was under huge pressure. They come to arrest Jesus. There's a trial going on. He was following Jesus. He was trying to see what would happen to Jesus at the trial and what would take place. And people came up to him and said, you were one of them. And he, no, I'd had nothing to do with him. Huge pressure, because they might have arrested him and all that. So we can say that's very understandable. But actually, something happened before then which took him to some extent outside God's covering at that particular moment. And that was that, if I can find the right passage, where is it? Simon Peter, before all this happened, said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, we may say, well, that's not such a bad thing to happen. You know, if you feel that, you know, you want to lay down your life for someone, you know, you want to do that. But actually what Peter was doing was making a remark and making a statement which he didn't know he could perform. I will go with you and I will lay down my life with you. And when we do that, when we start to say things that we're capable of doing this and of course we can do that and, you know, God's going to make this happen and God's going to do this and God's going to do that, when we haven't actually got the permission of God, if you like, to be able to say things like that, we put ourselves in danger. And so when that happened and Peter made those remarks, he was now in danger because some of the covering had gone from him. And so there is an enemy around who wants to make the best of those sorts of things when we come out from under the cover. And actually Jesus prays and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, that when you have turned again back, strengthen your brethren. And so Jesus didn't want to lose Simon, but knew that he had gone out from under the cover and said, even before he'd done this, I prayed for you, I'm praying for you, that you will be okay and that you will come back. And indeed, Peter did come back and not do that after all. God has a pattern of life which is good for us. It's got a good pattern of life. And God above all is relational. God is the God himself is a relational God. His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have a relationship together. They're very, and they want to include us in this relationship. They want us to be part of their family. That's why when God created Adam, he said it's not good for him to be alone. I want to have Eve to be able to have with him, and then to form a family, and as an expression of love, and that family will bring up its children with the expression of God's love as well, and that family is the foundation of God's kingdom. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, instead of having a structure that the other nations had, where there was all the rulers and the landowners and all the rest, and then you went down to the peasants and the slaves at the bottom, God said, I want you to work from the bottom upwards. I want the foundation of this not to be these wealthy and famous rulers, but the family. And I want the family to be the basis. The families form the clans form the tribes form the nation. And you're going to build this from the bottom up, and not from the top down, but it's going to be relational. You're going to share in the land. You're all going to have enough land to live on and to make a living for yourselves. You're going to have justice. You're going to be under me. I'm still the owner of these things, but you've got them with my blessing, as long as you follow what I'm trying to say and live the way I would like. If we look in our situation here, I don't think we would deny that all around us is evidence of breakdown of marriages and disintegration of family life. That is very, very prevalent. Not just in West Auckland or Bishop Auckland, but in many other places, but it is here as well. And the difficulty for many families is that because marriages break up, children are thrown about in their formative years, they don't have a feeling of security. There's no model of a loving support within those families. And so when they become adults, they don't know how to form stable relationships with a partner. They don't know how to nurture children. They don't know what a loving environment is to be able to bring people up within it. Our families are in real danger and at almost crisis points, the more I see around us here. That is why when becoming a Christian, it's so important to experience God's healing of past relationships, forgiveness, and love, and then learning about what God has to say about marriage, about children, about home, about family, and his guidance to lead that way and bring his love into it. And I believe that's what God wants us to do, and that he can protect us within that if we're following what he's asking of us. And it isn't a whole lot of difficult, hugely difficult ways to do things. We can understand through our Bible studies what marriage should be like, what bringing up children should be like, how we can form, and the church family is to be a model of a loving family. We each love one another. We don't keep gossiping about each other. We don't do other things. We're a loving family, but also within our personal families, we're able to have strong families supporting one another and working together to do that. Now, that doesn't mean it'll happen just like that or for everybody. There will still be problems. There will still be difficulties. But otherwise, we're in danger of coming out of God's covering. If we're not dwelling in the place that he put us in, and he wants us dwelling in the arms of the Almighty, we're keeping on being outside that, we're going to find it much more difficult to be able to lead our Christian lives and to be able to follow him. We weep a whirlwind of past experiences. Now, that's not just true of homes and families. It's true of everything about us. The job we do, the career we follow. God's calling on our lives isn't just for ministers and missionaries and people that go out and proclaim Jesus to people. It's to do with absolutely everything. He's got this beautiful world, And so he's interested in Nathan being a plumber and putting that right and being a good plumber and doing that job really well. He's interested in every single skill that he's given to us, everything that he wants us to develop for the good of his kingdom, for the good of his people, for the good of the community. And so we may feel things are going really badly for me. Am I in the right place? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right home? Am I in the right town? Why is everything going badly wrong with me? Is it something to do because I've come out of God's covering, or that he's not really blessing me in this, and therefore I should change and move to something else? Well, I think that's a question that is worth asking, because that may be right. You may need to look at that. But I would just put this caveat about that as well, is that each of the places I've gone to as a minister, this is true because that's really been my life, since being a banker and politician and all that stuff when I was young. For the first 3 years, practically everything has gone wrong. And I've struggled. And I felt in the wrong place. I haven't got the right skills for this. I'm not the right person. People have criticized and said, oh, you know, what are you about? What's happening, etc., etc. And yet, there's been such a sense of the calling of God to say, actually, this is right for you. I called you for this, and this is the place I want you to be, despite the fact that everything is going wrong, has kept me there. And each time, in the end, it has become something very fruitful and something very rewarding, and God's glory has come through as a result of it. So, what we have to do is just to ask God, is this because I'm not doing the right thing and I've come out from the covering? Something about my life isn't right, which I actually need to put right with you. Or is it just that I'm being tested at this point and I just need to know how to live my life within this very difficult period of time? And that's where the Bible can help, because that helps us with the instruction, reassurances, with the other things that will guide us in the decision making that we're having to make. So I want to just close by using the the letter of Jude, which is practically at the end of the Bible, just before Revelation. Sometimes difficult to find. There we are. The final words of the letter to Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He can keep us from falling.